Alex Jones is a spy?
What?
Here's a fax from Cooter in Orlando, who sends me a copy of a story that appeared in the Los Angeles Times. He says, a prestigious newspaper, not the oft-maligned weekly World News. Quoting the story, in retrospect, lighting the match was my big mistake, but I was only trying to retrieve the gerbil. Eric Tomaszewski told bemused doctors in the severe burns unit of Salt Lake City Hospital. Tomaszewski and his homosexual partner, Andrew Kinky Farnham, had been admitted for emergency treatment after a felching session had gone seriously wrong. I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum and slipped Raggett, our gerbil, in, he explained. As usual, Kinky shouted out, Armageddon! My cue that he'd had enough. I tried to retrieve Raggett, but he wouldn't come out again, so I peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might attract him. At a hushed press conference, a hospital spokesman described what happened next. The match ignited a pocket of intestinal gas and flame shot out the tube, igniting Mr. Tomaszewski's hair and severely burning his face. It also set fire to the gerbil's fur and whiskers, which in turn ignited a larger pocket of gas further up the intestine, propelling the rodent out like a cannonball. Armageddon! Armageddon! Tomaszewski suffered second-degree burns and a broken nose from the impact of the gerbil, while Farnham suffered first and second-degree burns to his anus and lower intestinal tract. Armageddon! peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might make the gerbil come out. So that's what felching is all about. Armageddon! Who said that? I didn't.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The place from whence I write is wrong, if your third eye is closed. And the blind suppose that I'm evil, because the people can't see the furthest from smoking trees. And I hope their needs are met as I step up my writing, but still deal with the walking dead. After all, communication ain't what I thought you heard. Communication is what you thought I said. So where your mind at now? From the time I sat down, you should have known that I was zoning. Homie, I only came to speak truth to power. And my motto is ignore these cowards. I mean, why should I stand up until he man up? Because if I stand up for no reason, I guarantee you it's going to be studio thug hunting season. I place that on everything I believe in. I only want to be understood. And I write like what's hood, but who's the most ghetto is not the point. The point is my integrity. And if I'm profound, why should I dumb it down? Let the A&R give them the runaround. I only came to walk 180. I do this for the art, not to drop Mercedes. I write it for the same reason Coltrane did it. To cipher in a graveyard with a 40-inch cigar and a cat in a gray wave cap be like, yo, Black came with it. And I put out my cigar, put a little drink on the grave. Tell them brothers I call you God, because calling you begin to be like calling you slave. And you have to understand your concept of God is deeper than that slave master's. I mean, how he gonna have a bastard and put him out on a plantation and call him his property? See, we bigger than this poverty. We can make a project staircase seem more beautiful than any room in the mayor's place. Ask anyone. We even majestic when we walk down the street. Our feet pivot hip-hop beats deep into the pavement. And still wink like, shorty, how your day went? They try to give us short, so all day long we stay bent. I mean, why be broke when you can make sense and pay rent? If you could write like this, your life might switch. But let me slow down. Tell Dude over that tombstone to throw me another 40 while I sit down at the foot of this tree, relax and relight my This is far above inconvenient truths. The fact is, I'm not afraid to die. And because so many people are afraid to live, that might be the reason why they just getting by. But me, I embrace my demons and I bring them everywhere I go. And we check in the motels and get faded and fight and fuck. But I rarely introduce them to anyone I know, because I know that the smell of burning leaves is not provocative. Besides, Who wants to see giant brown trees covered in thorny vines that climb like ivy, half visible beyond blue fog, totally masking the image of a man on his knees, screaming, it is me, God, please take me now, because I'm surrounded by people who believe that my words can make them happy, when I don't know a damn thing about joy. But if you ever wish for the pretense to convince this world that your every breath isn't hemorrhaging yearning, then whenever you see me, ask me how.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
A lot of political news we're going to get to
Mitt
first.
Romney and Rick Santorum.
Bob Kerry talking about he's actually going to jump in the Senate race and going to run. A lot of people very excited about that. But speaking of Bob Kerry, his name is attached to another news story about the Saudis, and wow, it's a big one.
Well, let's start there. After years of speculation, just filed affidavits of two ex-senators say the Saudi Arabian government played a role in the attacks on 9/11. Former Florida Democrat Bob Graham testifies, quote, saying this, I am convinced that there was a direct line between at least some of the terrorists who carried out the September 11th attacks and the government of Saudi Arabia. While former Nebraska Democrat and the member of the 9/11 Commission, Bob Kerry, says, quote, this, evidence relating to the plausible involvement of possible Saudi government agents in the September 11th attacks has never been fully pursued. The statements are part of a decade-long lawsuit filed by families of 9/11 victims against the Saudi government and other Saudi institutions. Washington is publicly standing by the Saudis as the Justice Department works to have the lawsuit thrown out on grounds of international immunity. In November, an appellate court reversed a previous decision that foreign nations are not immune to lawsuits under certain terrorism claims.
Steve Rattner, the suspicion's always been there. And this is, I found it fascinating. You look at Bob Graham's statement. Bob Graham, a very, very respected, moderate Democrat, served his state and country admirably for years. Pretty stunning statement by Bob Graham, but there have been these suspicions for a very long time.
Sure there have, and I think it may fall a little bit into the category of things you just don't kind of want to know.
You don't want to know.
The Saudis supply over 10% of the world's oil. I think it's 12 or 14% at the moment. They're a critical ally in the Middle East in many ways, and there's some things you just don't want to know, and I think this process may reflect a bit of that here.
And you look at those statements, Donnie, you have helped people put out statements for a very long time. Bob Graham came out. He went there. But you look at what Bob Kerry said. He politely said what Steve just suggested. They don't want to know the truth. These charges have never been fully pursued.
And by the way, were any of us surprised?
No.
Did you hear? I mean, that's the kind of thing you almost, the sad part, you go, yeah, and?
No.
And I think that's the reality there. And I don't know where you go with this. And that's to Steve's point. I don't know where you go with
I don't
this.
Think we go anywhere, Willie, because unfortunately, for the families, you have a federal government, you have a U.S. government that, if this is the truth, it's the last thing they want to know.
Absolutely. And the Saudis say this whole thing ought to be dismissed because they've been exonerated in the 9/11 report
and
everything
else.
But they have not been exonerated. But this gets back to the core question. Steve touched on it, and it's our relationship with the Saudis. We rely on them for something that we need, but we don't share anything else in common with them in terms of values or the things they do, the way they run their government, the way their country is run. But they are our gas station in many respects, and so we keep that relationship with them.
They're our gas station. We need them against Iran.
Right.
Right. You look at this news, and by the way, they're very hostile to Iran right now. You look at this news on the top, the tensions rising are going to lead possibly to $5 gas prices. Barack Obama has some very difficult choices to make. The tougher he is on Iran, the tougher he is on American consumers. This is just, I mean, the front page of the paper is just all the evidence you need that we need to move beyond our dependence on foreign oil. It has held us hostage for the past 30 or 40 years.
Remember that not only are the Saudis the world's largest oil producer, and we were going to talk more about this on Monday, but they actually have virtually all the world's reserve capacity. So if Iran were to go offline or any other disruption, it is the Saudis that we have to turn to and say, please, please pump some more, get some more oil.
Yeah. Steve, I'm curious, with obviously oil prices going up, for some reason, it doesn't seem to be hitting the same nerve as it usually hits when oil prices start to go. It does not seem to be setting the same shiver through the economy.
Well, I think we're watching. That's because you haven't had to put the 300 gallons in your yacht yet. When you start yachting out to the Hamptons,
you can't yacht to the Hamptons. The Long Island Expressway, there are no yacht lanes. So if you go to the Hamptons, you can either drive
helicopters.
I was asking a serious question of our chief economic counsel here, that for some reason it does not seem to this point. I mean, $3.50 real economy.
Make no mistake, I don't do anything for free. I keep my enemies closer than my mirror ever gets to me. And if you think that there is shelter in this attitude, where do you feel the warmth of my gratitude?
Still those people out there that think, you know, Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney are actually lizards who eat human flesh. I don't know if anybody's ever asked you directly, sir, but are you a lizard?
I don't think
are you actually. Can you just please give that a straight answer? Let him answer. Are you a lizard?
Here's the short answer. Yeah. I'm in New York City. I walk down the street. People walk up, shake hands, stop me. They want an autograph. Want to get a photograph with me. Go to eat last night at dinner, and Joyce and I were sitting there in the little Italian restaurant. and a man came up and said he'd like to buy my dinner. And it turns out I paid for my dinner. The next thing I know, the waiter comes back and said the man insisted to pay for your dinner, and here's your canceled receipt for me.
Oh, wow, that's
very nice. There's plenty of people that...
you didn't answer the question. What would be hurt by denying that you're a lizard?
I did not just arrive in town falling off a turnip.
But no, that's fascinating to me. What would be hurt by denying... And I'm not going to ask you to deny it now. I'm more interested in what would be hurt if you denied that you're a lizard.
Yeah. Sorry I brought it up. I apologize.
But that is fascinating to me that saying I am not a lizard might be dangerous. I want to know how it might hurt... Wait, how would it hurt your credibility?
There are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
Let's begin. Take it down and up. Zip it up. Good.
take it down. Right here, you should feel it. All right in that rear end. Good. Wonderful.
Oh, I could hide beneath the wing of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it sings.
Something strange has happened in the skies above Britain. Police throughout Scotland and the north of England received calls of a bright light streaking across the sky on Saturday night, with many callers worried it was an air crash. In fact, it was what observers are calling one of the best meteors ever seen in the UK. The object, thought to be a chunk of space rock about the size of a fist, was seen as far south as Devon and may have landed in the English Channel.
Now you know how happy I can be. Oh, and our good time starts and ends without our love one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really need?
Meet Ertzi, a unique look into our past. This is the perfectly preserved remains of a man who walked modern-day Italy around 5,300 years ago, found perfectly preserved in an alpine glacier on the Austro-Italian border in 1991. Scientists have studied him for 20 years, but haven't been able to establish much about him until now. They've been DNA mapping the Iceman and have made some startling predictions. Far from a few mummified remains, Ertzi was once a brown-eyed, lactose-intolerant man, likely descended from the Corsican or Sardinian region, far from his alpine tomb. He was even infected with Lyme disease, an infection carried by ticks. And what did he look like? Well, he may have aged a bit, but this might just be our 5,300-year-old friend. For now, though, he's back on ice, kept at minus 6 degrees Celsius by the European Academy of Bolzano.
A massive tornado is seen tearing across Athens in Alabama, one of a swarm of twisters which have battered parts of the US, killing around 20 people in Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. At least one person died in the Indiana town of Henryville, where television images showed homes blown apart and a school bus thrown into the side of a building. Many schools, offices and roads throughout the Midwest have been closed, with weather experts predicting a repeat of last year, which saw 550 people killed by twisters, making it the deadliest in a century.
Stephen Hawking, modern-day genius, brilliant physicist, swinger, New reports say 70-year-old Hawking is a regular at a California sex club. A source tells Radar Online he's seen Hawking at the club at least 5 times. He shows up to the club with a bevy of nurses and assistants and has naked women grind on him. Last time I saw him, he was in the back play area laying on a bed fully clothed with 2 naked women gyrating all over him, the source said.
Armageddon!
The LAist has details on the club. Why go to Caltech when you could have this? For your socializing pleasure, there is a pool table, an oversized hot tub, dance floor with raised stage, complete with a pole for dancing, and many TVs throughout the club showing XXX movies. But some refute the report. Cambridge News spoke with Tim Holt, a professor from the University of Cambridge, where Hawking is also a professor. Holt admits Hawking visited the club, but denies he's a regular, saying, "He visited once a few years ago with friends while on a visit to California. He cannot have been a regular because he does not live in California." Cambridge News notes Hawking has been seen at strip clubs in the past, including being photographed at one in London in 2008. He's been married twice, but is now single.
Armageddon!
Hawking told New Scientist magazine earlier this year that women are a, quote, complete mystery to him.
Rape, incest, is
ready? It's coming. These next 4 hours are going to be the best 4 hours of your life. Unless, of course, you're doing something somewhat more interesting like shagging. Yeah, that might not be the best 4 hours compared to that. But then again, if you're on the receiving end of sexual intercourse with one of these porno-trained clueless boys that's grown up in the internet era, this show's actually going to be way better than shagging, being on the receiving end of that kind of trauma. So this will be the next best 4 hours of your life for many a person listening. So, yeah, I'm sorry. That's probably true. I mean, look, if you grow up watching porn, you think you're going to know how to treat a woman in bed? Nah, not going to happen.
This must be the end of the world. All the people turning into pigs and ponies. I can't let it happen to me.
What is the reason for these hearings
sex.
From the Congress?
Well, sex. Thank you. I think that statement. Sex. I'll start this committee.
Sex. What is the reason
sex.
For these hearings and from the Congress?
Well.
I'd be interested to see what toys your kids ever had.
Why would you be interested?
Just as a point of interest in this.
Well, come on over to the house. I'll show them to you.
I might do that.
facts of such lyrics like sandpaper child may not be cataclysmic.
It's outrageous.
The survival of the emotional damage is
fire and change and they're objectionable.
Tools
of gratification,
some twisted mind.
Such
lyrics
in a well-adjusted child may not be cataclysmic.
Rather, the emotional damage of the old
man.
If I could find some way constitutionally to do away with it, I would.
Tools of gratification,
some
twisted mind.
That we've got to give
some
of
the
old
man. Now, the
effects of such lyrics in a well-adjusted child may not be cataclysmic.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zappa. You understand that the previous witnesses were not asking for legislation, and I don't know, I can't speak for Senator Hollings, but I think that the prevailing view here is that nobody's asking for legislation. The question is just focusing on what a lot of people perceive to be a problem, and you've indicated that you at least understand that there is another point of view.
Speaking of loose sphincters, I saw this on Facebook today, along with a discussion about it, and it was an image of Christina Aguilera having crapped herself on stage. Now, the funny thing is I saw it right away. A few of the people that I know, including the person that sent it to me, saw it right away. And, yeah, here's... Christina Aguilera trying to sing. In the middle of it, she squats over, starts clenching, and makes the face. And then there's brown stuff running down her knees all the way down to her stockings.
Senator Gore.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I found your statement very interesting. And let me say, although I disagree with some of the statements that you make and have made on other occasions, I have been a fan of your music, believe it or not, and I respect you as a true original and a tremendously talented musician.
Wait a minute.
Maybe I could make a good rock star, I don't know.
Come with Daddy.
Maybe I could make a good rock star, I don't know.
Come with Daddy.
Maybe I could make a good rock star, I don't know.
Come with Daddy.
Understand their own music, because nobody does. But
they don't even know what they're doing.
No,
I've seen them a couple times.
Did you see their uniforms?
Unbelievable.
Which ones? The red ones.
All those rhinestones over their wings and things like that.
Do you know what
I? Gold lame hoof covers. Unbelievable.
It's outrageous, Phil.
Come with Daddy. Come with Daddy.
Phil.
Come with Daddy.
It's outrageous.
And I think your suggestion is a good one, to deflect those words. That would go a long way to satisfying everyone's objections. I
all we have to do is find out how it's going to be paid for.
I can find some way constitutionally to do away with it. I did it. Constrictions of free speech.
Really, nearly over the hill.
This issue is too hot, not too mild.
Well, I'll be looking from this Senator's standpoint, not just to bring pressure, to try to see if there is some constitutional provision to tackle or approach that can be used on the Congress to limit this outrageous bill.
Yeah!
This is what the alternative media is doing very, very well. It's funny, I saw the discussion on this, and the discussion was pretty funny, actually. Because it's a lot of people talking about, oh, look, poor Christina Aguilera, she's the victim of MK Ultra mind control. Which, by the way, is a bunch of crap, all right? A bunch of crap, all that MK Ultra stuff. And of course, we all know about it and talk about it because the alternative media told us. Now, anybody with a half-sane mind will see that the other part of the argument, when these fools, and I do mean fools, because these are people that have been properly programmed by all the BS in the alternative media, were debating. This was the point of their debate. Nobody said she crapped herself, which was the most obvious thing. They were arguing whether or not, well, whatever it was either menstrual blood, which it's not. Okay? I mean, it just anybody with two eyes should be able to see that. Or whether it was... Get this. Tanning. Tanning. Apparently they're saying she was sporting a fake tan, and this was tanning fluid or whatever, the tanning spray liquid mixed in with her sweat. As if. Look, this is why people listen to the show and why some people need to listen to the show. Let's get past all that BS MK Ultra stuff and all that other crap, all right? The celebrities aren't a bunch of MK mind control slaves. That is BS that was fed to you by the conspiracy industry. Check the sources and who put out those claims. Check their connections, and you'll find out that a lot of that crap is BS. So let's not go for the most simpler explanation, which is that this is the way Hollywood operates, okay? They don't make you a star unless you bend over and let these guys pound your star for as long as they find you desirable.
We'll get back to the wimp and his low-budget conception of personal freedom in just a moment. But first, welcome to What the Fuck Wine On Here, a celebration of the American way of life. I see some of y'all be frowning, because maybe you think what I'm telling you is a lie. Am I right? Let's just have a test. How many of you nice folks think I knows what I was talking about? Raise your hand up. Uh-huh. And how many think my potato been baking too long? Raise your miserable hand up. Uh-huh. Now, how many of you folks is convinced the government be totally unconcerned with the proliferation of undesirable tenants in the condominium or life? And how many folks believe they number won't come up next time the breeze blow from the easterly direction? Let's face it, people, ugly as I might be, I am your fusion. Ain't that right, Sister Abdullah? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's right.
And the end result of all that pounding is a sphincter that doesn't hold in your poop anymore. And hey, Christina Aguilera just proved it. I mean, I think there's people that actually just don't want to believe it. You know, they just don't want to believe it. But that's, why do you think they call them stars? Why do they get pink stars? It's obvious. It's all about sex. That's, Hollywood operates on sex. And anybody who can't even, like, begin to see that now, you're either just too new to the show and you need some time, or you're just never going to get it because you've been properly programmed by the morons in the alternative truth movement.
Senator Gordon.
Mr. Tapa, I am astounded at the courtesy and soft-voiced nature of the comments of my friend, the senator from Tennessee. I can only say that I find your statement to be boorish, incredibly and insensitively insulting. The people who were here previously, that you could manage to give the First Amendment, the Constitution of the United States, a bad name if I felt that you had the slightest understanding of it, which I do not, and have the slightest understanding of the difference between government action and private action. And you would have certainly destroyed any case you might otherwise have had with this senator. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is this private action?
I don't think this is our speech.
A voluntary labeling is not.
Bend up and
censorship.
Smell my anal tape.
Voluntary labeling is not.
Listen, you little son.
dressed in leather bind and mask.
Bend up and smell my anal paper.
Mr. Zappa, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next witness is John Denver.
We haven't gotten much from this one. Hey, you've got a bail by the day of hell, huh? Jesus.
President Clinton jawbones TV moguls on sex and violence. Regulators decide not to sue Hillary Clinton over Whitewater. Steve Forbes is sure to spot on New York primary ballot. Good Thursday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. President Clinton today hosts a media summit, meeting with top TV executives about all the sex and violence on the tube. The industry is coming in with a proposed rating system, says CBS President Peter Lund.
This is, we think, a jump forward to get the entire industry, not just one or two networks or four networks, but to get the entire industry to have the same set of standards so that people can make intelligent decisions about their viewing, much like they do with the movies.
This is Barry Bagnato. The executives agreed to draw up a voluntary ratings plan only after enormous public and political pressure to displays such as this one.
How does that feel?
Amazing.
Well, it's
going
to feel a lot better when I get this shirt off. I can really dig in.
That's not some late-night cable channel, but network TV at lunch hour. The industry, which has defended its programming as free speech, gave in after Congress passed the telecommunications reform bill, which calls for a rating system and a computer chip that can screen out violent programming. To Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman, it's
the revolt of the revolted.
He and other critics want the executives to do more.
To make a commitment to set higher standards and improve the quality of their product.
It's unlikely, however, the industry will soon move much beyond the reluctant step it's taking today. At the White House, here's correspondent Mark Noller.
Much to the delight of officials here, the polls reflect overwhelming support for the president's call for TV shows that people would want their children to watch. Spokesman Mike McCurry says the White House thinks the executives who run television have gotten the message.
There seems to be acknowledgement within the industry that that is a very important and worthy goal.
In this election year, the White House thinks there's a political payoff in pursuing this family values issue, and so does House Speaker Newt Gingrich. He invited the entertainment executives to breakfast at the Capitol this morning before going to their appointment with the president.
There's a lot of stuff on television today that is destructive to this society, and it shouldn't be on there.
How about a mandatory rating?
I think it'd be thrown out, frankly, as censorship.
The White House says it's delighted that Gingrich is taking an interest in the children's TV issue.
Armageddon!
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
It's like the best show ever.
Alex Jones is a spy? What?
What do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody to spy. Someone took your plans away. So watch all of us. There ain't nobody to spy like us. Hey, don't be afraid of an undercover raid. There's no need to fuss. Ain't nobody to spy like us. Spy like us.
Alex Jones is a spy? What?
All right, I get it. Alex Jones is not a very nice man. I get that. You know, unless somebody's, I don't go after anybody unless I think they're actively hurting somebody. And Alex Jones cancels speaking tour 3 days after exposure as possible Strat 4 double agent. Now this comes from truthernews.wordpress.com. And let me give you a few things that back this up for those of you who are fans of the war and fear-mongering Alex Jones. On February 12, 2012, David Chase Taylor of Truther.org broke the story that Alex Jones was likely an intelligence tool for Strat4, a private Zionist intelligence agency located in, of all places, Austin, Texas. Now, Texas and most of the South in the Southern Baptist Fundamentalist Bible churches, with the, again, Arab-hating, pro-Israel, warmongering, supposed, you know, who would Jesus kill churches run by guys like John Hagee, also known as the Blob, raise all kinds of money for Israel. They believe that what's good for Israel is good for the United States, that Israel is the promised land, that all his prophecies have to do with Israel, and if we don't save Israel, then, oh, I don't know, Jesus isn't going to come back. And far more ridiculousness. So there's a huge base for Israeli intelligence all throughout the South that basically has its hooks, its claws, well, its money, actually gets all its money, from people who believe, again, Israel do or die. Now, there's an original article here, but Strat4 admits to now being an intelligence gathering center, and therefore it stands to reason that Alex Jones and his affiliates of InfoWars and Prison Planet have likely been gathering intelligence and data and info on thousands of patriotic Americans since 1996. Now, coincidentally, the exact same year that Strat4 was founded in Austin, Texas.
What do you do? No one else can dance like you. So watch all of us. Ain't nobody got spine like you. Hey, what do you say? No one else can look that way. So watch all of us. Ain't nobody got spine like you.
And why is Alex Jones so deeply connected to the elite, despite being a conspiracy theorist, continues to be a mystery and really baffling unless he's indeed part of the intelligence network. Now, in the days before and on 9/11, Strat4 and Alex Jones were making predictions about what was going to happen and who would be allegedly responsible. And according to Wikipedia, Strat4 has a connection to the 9/11 attacks. Quote, at the time of the 9/11-2001 attacks, Strat4 made its breaking news paragraph, as well as some notable analysts predicting likely action to be taken by Al-Qaeda and the Bush administration, available free to the public. And according to Alex Jones, he himself predicted 9/11 and the anthrax attacks that followed, and Jones' information and insight is also free to the public. So clearly there is some sort of an intelligence connection at play.
But the New York Post on May 7th ran a headline, "The Truth Hurts." This is big business, and the truth is, it's not going anywhere.
Cute couple is on the same antidepressant. KY introduces a new line of jam, and the world's youngest person is born. One day somebody ought to take a torch to this whole goddamn place, but for now, here is the Onion Week in Review. Thousands of outraged meth addicts urged the federal government this week to address the nation's growing spider epidemic. During a marathon 72-hour meeting under the Roosevelt Bridge Monday, tweakers from across the nation drafted a 45,000-word proposal to kill all the acid-shooting spiders before they develop the powers of mind control or, God forbid, flight.
We can't grow these spiders any longer. The government has to... There's a spider there! It's too late!
While a gigantic, quote, spider bomb is not out of the question, the addicts have agreed that the best temporary solution would be for the government to issue them large quantities of methamphetamine and steel wool. In Ithaca, New York, a local daddy, Howard Lewis, was put in his bye-bye box Tuesday so that he could go on a long vacation with the birds and clouds in the sky. The daddy, who was once tall and strong and liked going to the hospital to play with their fun machines, was reportedly put in the bye-bye box after weeks of being sleepy all the time and never finishing his din-din. By Tuesday, lots of family had come in from all over to watch daddy get dropped inside a cool underground fort full of dirt and sand, where he'll be tonight instead of being home to play chutes and ladders. A report by Stanford University researchers released Thursday found that Americans spend 90% of their waking hours staring at glowing rectangles. Researchers identified more than 30 varieties of iridescent rectangles, ranging from personal and work rectangles to rectangles that heat food and those that can fit right in one's pocket.
From the moment Americans wake up, they are captivated by these bright, pulsing rectangles. In fact, if you look at the data, it's hard to find a single minute when the public isn't captivated by these. Excuse me. I'm sorry, where were we?
In local news, a runover squirrel is remembered as frantic and indecisive. And in other news, a trail of rose petals leads a wife to a sink full of dishes. Prince Fielder reports to spring training exactly the right amount overweight, and a local yard sale reeks of divorce.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
Does the time bother you? I get bothered by the time. Not so much the time itself, the people bother me for the time. People come up to me on the street. I'm sure you've had this happen to you. People come up to you and say, what time it is? Well, they might say, what time is it? I shouldn't get into these ballads. You've had people come up to you and say, what time is it? What time is it? As if you personally were responsible for keeping time? You know, I feel honored, first of all, that they thought I was the man in charge. But I do have to explain, you don't see official timekeeper on here, do you? I don't have the time, of course not. Do you have the time? That's another way they say, do you have the time? I say, no. I don't believe I do. I certainly didn't have it this morning. Did you leave it somewhere? Well, do you have the time? No, I don't have the time. I use a little of it, like everyone, you know. But I don't have it. I think the Navy has it. In Washington, isn't that? They keep it in an observatory, that's right. Sure, they let out a little of it each day. Not too much, they wouldn't want to give us too much. Just enough time. Sometimes they'll say, do you know what time it is? And I say, yes. I hate to disappoint them, but there is no time. There is no time. I don't mean there's no time. I mean there's no time. When the hell is it? We made that whole thing up. There's no time. We made it up. It's a man-made invention, time. There are no numbers up in the sky. I've looked. They're not there. We made this stuff up. When is it? When the hell is it? When are we, I ask you? When are we? Sometimes we think we know where we are, but we don't really know when we are. When the hell is it? All the time zones are different.
Every calendar you run across is different. They'll all give you a different answer. These are calendars. These are made to keep track of time. Everybody's got a different one. Chinese are way up there in the 5,000 and 6,000s. Hebrew calendars way up in the 5,000 and 6,000s. We're up at about 1,970-something. This ain't a couple of weeks these people are off. This is thousands of goddamn years that are missing, man. How did they do that? We don't know when the hell it is. It could be the middle of last month for all we know. I mean, time is so, we've got it down so perfect that every 4 years we have to stick in an extra day just to make sure it still works. And we call it February 29th.
Bullshit, it's March 1st and I know it.
It just feels like March 1st. You can't keep track of the time. What's the sense? I'll give you an example. There's a moment coming. It's not here yet. It's still on the way. It's in the future. It hasn't arrived. Here it comes. Here it is. Oh, shit, it's gone. There's no now. There's no now. Everything is the near future or the recent past. But there's no present. Welcome to the present. Gone again. It's just so imprecise. We don't even care to use the minutes and seconds and hours that we've been given. Everybody's very vague about the time. She says, what time you got?
I got just after. Just after? Jeez, I must be slow. I had going on.
And where did that imprecision begin? Why is it we're not so sure? I know one of the clues that happened to me was when they started telling me about moments. When I was a kid, they were trying to teach me how to tell time. And, of course, you can't tell time. Time tells you. But they were trying. They were trying to show me. On the big hand, I said, I don't have a big hand. Never mind. Look at the clock. And the clock is so wonderful. There's so much emotion attached to a clock face. I hate digital clocks. Digital clocks rob me of all the emotional experience of the spatial relationships on that face of the clock. Isn't it true? I mean, don't you always feel that this half hour, when it comes down from 12 down to 6, goes by a lot quicker than this half hour when it has to come up fighting gravity all the way? I know, it does go a lot quicker. God, oh, I got you. Yeah. I'll tell you this, if I only have a half hour to live, I want it to be this one, man. When it lasts just a little bit longer than that one there. It's vague. That's all I'm saying. It's very vague how we treat time. We have all these wonderful expressions. We say now. Now is an interesting one. When? Now. You want that now?
Yes.
Well, would you like to try again? Well, sometimes just now. Just now. Did you hear that? What? Just now.
You must mean just then, don't you?
Yes, just then. But there it goes again. When? Now. No, not now. No. Pardon me, do you have the time?
When do you mean, now or when you ask me? This is moving, Ruth.
We have a lot of these vague terms. Right away, immediately, at once, lickety-split, just like that, nothing flat, drop of a hat, no time at all. As quick as you can say, Jack Robinson. I'm sure you've done that to people. I'll be back before you can say Jack Robinson.
Jack Robinson, hey, you're not back.
How about a jiffy? A jiffy? Or a flash? Which is quicker? A jiffy or a flash? I think there are two flashes in a jiffy, myself. But God knows how many jiffies there are in two shakes of a lamb's tail. And why did they use two shakes of a lamb's tail? What's wrong with the basic unit of measurement? One shake of a lamb's tail. We can do our own arithmetic, thank you. Belched a little there. Tried to swallow that one. Then we have words like soon. Soon. That's a very emotional word. There's a lot of potential for drama in that word. Soon. Soon. Soon.
Is your mother coming home? Uh-huh. When? Soon? Real soon. As soon as she can.
Sooner than you think. That's kind of a spooky one. Sooner than I think.
That's a little bit like before you know it.
I'll be back before you know it.
He did it. Holy Christ. Look at that.
Can we go on with these terms that we use, these vague terms of time? One of these days. Before long. Any time now. Well, that's true. Everything's going to happen any time now. Any day now. That's kind of a snotty one, any day now. Hey, I'll be giving you that $5 I owe you, Bill. Yeah, any day now. Sooner or later, now and then, once in a while, from time to time. In a little while. In a little while. Well, it'll just be a little while. That's a wonderful one. I just love that. It sounds so benign. Just a little while. Couldn't hurt you, could it? You can wait a little while. It'll only be a little while longer. Just a little while. That's so different from a short time. Short time. Sounds almost terminal, doesn't it? You only have a short time. Whereas you have a little while. Oh, I'd rather have a little while than a short time. Yeah, we got long ways we measure time. We got vast distances of time we measure. People will say things like, kingdom come. I'm going to be standing here till kingdom come. I don't have that on my watch. Doomsday, you say? Doomsday. Till the cows come home. Well, that's an easy one to understand. That's long about dusk, isn't it? If you leave them out overnight, they burst. Here's a long period of time, forever. Some people will tell you, guys, I've been standing on this line forever. Look at this, Dave. This man has been standing on line forever. He looks fairly fresh to me. Almost like an eternity, people will tell you. It's almost like an eternity, as if they had experience with eternities. Now, you must have a favorite period of time. I have some favorites. I just want to try a few of them on you. It isn't easy to select a favorite period of time, so many of them are attractive, but there are little periods of time that that you might relate to. Of course, the most basic period of time I feel is 5 minutes. That seems to be the one everyone chooses. If they need to think of a period of time real quickly, they just go, 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. I'll be there in just 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes, would you please? Just, would you just give me 5 minutes? Wait, were you kidding me? I could fix that in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's all most people want, 5 minutes. A good, solid, nice period of time. You can do anything for 5 minutes, can't you? I mean anything. Even things you really hate. Yeah, you could probably do it for 5 minutes. Hey, let's go talk to Ted. Are you kidding? Ted's a... Look, just 5 minutes, huh? Okay, let's give it 5 minutes. Not 10. 10 I can't make. Now you're getting into double digits, you're starting to fool with my head. Time. 5, 10 minutes. 15 minutes is popular. You hear 15 quite a bit, but it's sort of an institutional one. It's kind of an official time period. 15 minutes has a touch of regulatory quality to it, doesn't it? Sounds like something you're not supposed to do or have to do for 15 minutes. 15 minutes. I like 20 minutes. Doesn't that sound free compared to 15? 15 minutes. 20 minutes. I'll be back in 20 minutes. Gosh, what's he gonna do?
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.